5482-3333. Saturday, August 6th, there's an opening reception for the Art of Sports and Games at the Hanson Gallery, 1037 Main Street, Honesdale, Pennsylvania, from 6 to 8 p.m. 570-253-2525. Saturday, August 6th, you can dance yourself green with NACL Theater at the Calicoon Creek Park in Calicoon, New York. At 6 p.m. is the NACL Stilters and a stilt workshop for all ages, and the DJ from 7 to 11 p.m. Saturday, August 6th, kicks off the 18th festival season of the Chandelier Music Festival, 8 p.m. with Brett Williams, www.chandelier.org. Saturday, August 6th, singer-songwriter Richard Parkinson will be at Baker's Tap Room in Barryville, New York, from 8 to 11 p.m. Saturday, August 6th, the Catskill Jewish Film Festival continues at 8:30 p.m. at the Pavilion across from the Fat Lady Cafe in Conneaugh Lake, New York, 917-657-5248. Please send news of your arts and cultural events to calendar at wjffradio.org. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned.
Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then here on WJFF. Today's program will be listening to the music of the father and son, singer-songwriters, Tim Buckley and Jeff Buckley. Let's start with Jeff Buckley.
Slow. precious, precious silver and gold, and pearls and oysters flesh. Drop down we to the serve and pray the Lord. Born again from the rhythm, screaming down from heaven, ageless.
Jeff Buckley. That song is called Mojo Pin, and he co-wrote that song with Gary Lucas, his guitar player. That song comes from an album called Grace, which was released in August of 1994. What a spectacular singer. What a committed sound. What an emotionally virtuoso singer who just is so connected to his emotions. An astounding recording. Jeff Buckley, and his father, Tim Buckley. They're both singer-songwriters, and they have eerie similarities in their lives. But it's not the typical story you expect from a father and a son. You know, I knew the music of both of these musicians, American-born singer-songwriters. But until I really looked into the background, I didn't know much of their personal stories. And, you know, I expected something like, you know, when Julian Lennon would go to visit John Lennon and he'd ask him, well, what are the chords in that bridge part of that song, you know, and or when David Crosby finally meets his adult son and they sing together and they form a band and they start touring, you know. I didn't know what to expect, father and son. Well, it turns out it's not like that between Tim Buckley and his son Jeff. They barely knew each other. They barely knew each other. But there's other ways that their destinies and fates entwined that's truth is stranger than fiction. So we just heard a song by Jeff Buckley from his album called Grace. And one of the things that these two men, father and son, have in common is the sound of their voices. It's something you inherit. And Tim Buckley Tim Buckley has a very strong and devoted following even to this day. He died rather young. He was only 28 years old, Tim Buckley, when he died. He was born in 1947, and he was raised in Southern California. And when he's 13 years old, he teaches himself to play the banjo, and he starts a folk group. You know, they want to sound like the Kingston Trio, right? And they're playing at high school events. And when Tim Buckley's 18 years old, he meets a girl in his French class, and they get married. And sure enough, she gets pregnant, but they get divorced a month before their son, Jeff Buckley, is born. So Tim Buckley, he's playing around. He's a folk singer. He's playing a lot of clubs out in Los Angeles. And in February of 1966, Tim Buckley is playing a gig at this L.A. club called It's Boss. And you know Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention? God, I love Frank Zappa. The Mothers of Invention drummer Jimmy Carl Black, the Indian of the group, sees Tim Buckley play a gig, and he contacts the Mothers of Invention's manager, a man named Herb Cohen. And sure enough, he gets interested in Tim Buckley, and he finds a really long-term gig for Tim Buckley to come from Los Angeles out to Greenwich Village in New York City. And he sets him up at the Night Owl Cafe. And the owner of Elektra Records, Jack Holzman, hears him playing and offers him a contract. So Tim Buckley launches his career in August of 1966. He goes back to Los Angeles and he records his debut album in like 3 days, called Tim Buckley, and it's very much of a folk-oriented album, some background orchestration, a lot of original songs, a lot of songs with his with a lyricist that he collaborated with. His second album, Hello and Goodbye, was released in 1967, and it's a very adventurous release. Tim Buckley's only 20 years old at this time. And he wrote a song on this album about his son and his estranged wife. And it's called I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain. So let's listen to Tim Buckley's recording from his Goodbye and Hello. Tim Buckley's song, I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain. Tells me of my child.
self will never drain. As I die, I can't remember where I saw the rain. Could it be that her laughter drove me down again? Charming dancer, will you stop, stop and talk to me? Is there someone else you feel in your dreams? Who will you see? In midnight gazes, I found you far from me. By my door, yes, you can drink my lies. The first you read my eyes, each one is titled and drowning back to you. I can't swim your waters if you can't walk my land. And I'm sailing all my sins and I'm climbing all my fears, and soon
Buckley, I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain. That was from his 1967 Goodbye and Hello album. And, you know, 1967, folk singers started out in the early 60s as, you know, acoustic guitars and vocals, stand-up bass. And those folk singers split off in so many directions trying to bust out of the confines of the folk music sound. And some people went really rock, Dylan. What is this music? This to me is closer to a folk jazz crossover, and you couldn't ask for a less commercial approach to music. I mean, you know, folk music and jazz, the bane of the music record labels. But Tim Buckley wasn't really interested so much in commercial success. You know, he had, after this album was released, he appeared on The Tonight Show, big time, right? But he's really like, you know, he's standoffish on The Tonight Show, and he's kind of insulting toward the host. And there was another TV appearance he was offered where he was supposed to lip sync one of his songs, and he refused to do it. So Tim Buckley, very experimental, very committed to his own artistic expression. And so as he continues, he records 9 studio albums in his career, and he continues down this experimental path with a jazz crossover into folk, and he alienates a lot of his fan base. He changes record labels, and he goes into he starts to record on a record label that Frank Zappa actually started up with Herb Cohen, called Straight Records. And Buckley's Tim Buckley's sound distinctly changes on these albums. The final recordings that he does at the beginning of 1970, he kind of breaks from this folk jazz sound, and he goes into a kind of a funk sound, what's called his sex funk period. And he records three albums in this style. He gets Joey Falcia and Buddy Helm to play with him. And it's very explicit, kind of erotic lyrics, not in a pornographic way, in a very poetic way, but still it doesn't get any radio play. But the approach and the singing is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I wanted to listen to a Tim Buckley recording from the album Greetings from L.A., released in 1972. This song is called Sweet Surrender. And for a man that started out, you know, playing the banjo and singing the Kingston Trio type songs from his first releases, you know, with just the folk music thing, this is where he takes his music. And this album is released in 72. The song is called Sweet Surrender, Tim Buckley.
You wanna know the reason why I cheated on you? Well, I had to be a hunter again. This little man had to try to make love feel new again. Cause there's just a few things, honey, but I could not prove to you. Cause I was just too young and hard.
I'm just too cold, honey. Just too hard to care.
Tim Buckley, Sweet Surrender. That's from his album Greetings from L.A., released in 1972. So what an incredible track. You know, the orchestration, the funky music. It's like when he sings that he's got no filter going. It's just like he is singing directly from his soul. It's such a committed and emotional, and what an amazing voice. You know, the orchestration on this song always reminded me of the thing that the Rolling Stones did, you know, their track called Moonlight Mile. So I'm Kathy Geary, and this is Now and Then here on WJFF, award-winning hydro-powered radio. And I did just want to take a moment and thank all of our the generous community that we have here for taking us over the top in our recent pledge drive. I was unfortunately had to be out of town for the last couple of days of that. So I was just really excited to find out, you know, how well it had all gone. And I wanted to thank you all for your support. Thank you so much. So Tim Buckley, what an accomplished singer and so committed to his own artistic vision. Very experimental. That song we just heard was 6 minutes and 48 seconds long. The song we heard before that from his 1967 album, I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain, that was 6 minutes long. That's just like unheard of in popular music in the late 60s and 70s. It had to be 2 minutes, 38 seconds. It had to be 3 minutes, 10 seconds, because it's all about radio play. So he really pushed the limits on his artistic abilities. He pushed the limits in a lot of ways. He was touring to support some of his final recordings, and he did a show in Dallas, Texas, and I didn't really know the circumstances about the end of his life, but I was just chilled to the bone when I realized I was at one of his last concerts in June of 1975 in Dallas, Texas. I saw him play. And he died shortly after those concerts in Dallas. He died of a drug overdose. He was very committed artistically, and he threw himself into his music in the same way that he threw himself into his life. A friend of his lyricist, his high school friend that he had met as such a young man, Larry Beckett, he said of Tim Buckley that he continually, quote, he continually took chances with his life. He'd drive like a maniac, risking accidents. For a couple of years, he drank a lot and took downers to the point where it nearly killed him. But he'd always escape. Then he got into this romantic heroin-taking thing, and then his luck ran out. So it was a sad loss for us. Tim Buckley still has a devoted following. And, of course, Tim Buckley never knew his son very well. Jeff Buckley was born in Anaheim, California in 1966. And when he was 8 years old, he got to spend about 2 weeks with his father, Tim. But outside of that, he never met him. But of course, as he grew up and became his own man and his own musician, there's his father's legacy in front of him. He was a guitarist. He was a very talented guitarist, and he was like a studio guitarist for hire in Los Angeles. And it wasn't until 1990 that he moves to New York City in February. When he was playing all those studio guitar gigs, he only sang vocals like as a backup thing. So he starts to come to New York City, and he starts to play in the way that his father had, just him and an electric guitar. And he started to play a bunch of small clubs in New York City, live around town. And sure enough, it was his father's manager, Herb Cohen, remember the guy that the Mothers of Invention drummer introduced him to? It was his father's Tim Buckley's manager, Herb Cohen, that offered to help him get a demo of some of his first original songs. So he goes back to Los Angeles and he records a little demo tape. And his father's, there's going to be a tribute concert to his father, Tim Buckley, that Herb Cohen is putting together. And so Tim flies back to New York in April of 1991 to perform on this tribute concert. And I have a couple of quotes because it's a really interesting thing. Even though the father and the son never knew each other, if it hadn't been for this tribute concert, Jeff Buckley might have never had the career that he had. So this is what Jeff Buckley had to say about his father's tribute concert in April of 91. Jeff Buckley says, I decided against performing at first. When my father died, I was not invited to the funeral. And that kind of gnawed at me. I figured that if I went to this tribute and sang and paid my respects, I could be done with it. I didn't want my appearance to be misconstrued, so I said, I don't want to be billed. I just want to walk on. I don't want to get anywhere for doing this. It's something really private for me. I sang Tim's song, I Never Asked to Be Your Mountain. It was about him having to take the gypsy life over a regular one. I mentioned in the song, as is his girlfriend at the time, my mom. It's a beautiful song. I both admired it and hated it. So that's what I sang. There's all these expectations that come from with his 60s offspring blank. But I can't tell you how little he had to do with my music. I met him one time when I was 8. Other than that, there was nothing. So it's because of this concert that he takes his first step into the music industry. It was this concert where he gets introduced to the scene in New York City. He meets a man named Gary Lucas, who was had been a guitarist with Captain Beefheart. They start to compose together, and they compose two songs, Grace and Mojo Pin. We heard Mojo Pin at the top of the program. So, you know, there he is singing in all these tiny little clubs. And when I say tiny, I mean tiny. Shawnee in the East Village, I'm telling you, it was 15 square feet. It was nothing. It was tiny. They released a bunch of those live recordings. But it's when he gets signed to record his very first studio album on Columbia Records that he goes into the studio up here in the Bearsville Studios in Woodstock, and he lays down the basic tracks for the Grace album. So let's listen to some of this recording. This would turn out to be Jeff Buckley's only studio recording. He only made this one album. And the eerie thing is that, like his father, he died very young. Now, their deaths were completely different. Tim Buckley's was completely drug-related. But Jeff Buckley died in an accidental drowning. He was in Memphis recording the follow-up album to this Grace album, and he went for a swim and never came back. So we're going to listen to the title track from his 1994 studio album, Grace. And, you know, we've just heard that song. You've just heard Sweet Surrender, and you have the sound of Tim Buckley in your ear. So when you listen to his son, Jeff, you're going to notice how similar their voices are, the powerful voice, the incredible tenor. Tim's voice was lower. Jeff Buckley is a world-class tenor in the same way that Roger Plant is a tenor. And I just wanted to read really quickly the lyrics to this song, Grace, because the lyrics really impact you if you hear them first and then you hear them in the song. So I'll just read these briefly, and then we'll listen to the title track from Jeff Buckley's album, Grace. There's the moon asking to stay long enough for the clouds to fly me away. Well, it's my time coming, and I'm not afraid to die. My fading voice sings of love. But she cries to the clicking of time, wait in the fire. And she weeps on my arm, walking to the bright lights in sorrow. Oh, drink a bit of wine, we both might go tomorrow. Oh, my love. And the rain is falling, and I believe my time has come. It reminds me of the pain I might leave behind, wait in the fire. And I feel them drown my name. So easy to know and forget with this kiss. I'm not afraid to go, but it goes so slow.
Time.
Grace. That's the title track from his 1994 release. And he wrote that song with Gary Lucas, the experimental guitarist. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, award-winning hydro-powered radio. So this turned out to be Jeff Buckley's only studio album. He does a couple of covers on this song, in addition to being an amazing guitarist, a virtuoso singer, a tenor voice like you just don't hear in popular music. He records a song by Leonard Cohen called Hallelujah. And even though Jeff Buckley died in 1997, he was only 30 years old. He had his first number one on Billboard in 2008, and here's how it happened. You might know that TV show American Idol. I've actually never seen the whole show American Idol. But there was a singer on the seventh season, Jason Castro, and he performed the version that Buckley did of a Leonard Cohen song called Hallelujah. And so the Jeff Buckley recording went to number one on the iTunes downloads, 178,000 downloads in a week of this Jeff Buckley recording. So let's listen to Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah, sung by Jeff Buckley.
The minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Jeff Buckley, that's Leonard Cohen's famous song, Hallelujah, from Jeff Buckley's 1994 album entitled Grace. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. Today's program about Jeff Buckley and his father, Tim Buckley. So it's interesting, these two men starting as folk singers, taking the same kind of experimental curve together. You know, when you see their photos, you can see that they're father and son, and you hear their voices and you know it's the same blood flown in their veins. And yet they never really knew each other. They never knew each other in this world. It's truly an amazing and haunting story. There was an interview that Jeff Buckley gave with Rolling Stone in 1994, and I wanted to read a quote where he talks about him and his father and their careers. And he's talking about record stores. So here's a quote from Jeff Buckley. Quote, I go to Tower Records and I see all these lives in the bins. It's insane and really emotional place. That's why I spend so much time in record shops. All my life I tried to work in one, but they never accepted me. And now I'm in them. I got my own A staring at me. And it's like, oh, Jesus, why didn't you take me when I had the chance? And he thinks about his father. Separated all our lives, and now I'm right there in the bin next to him. This thing, his thing should stand on its own. So should mine. Otherwise, how else could I bring honor to it? So there has been a lot of posthumous recordings released of Jeff Buckley's recordings. He died in 1997, and since then there's been further recordings from the Grace album, all the live recordings from Shanae, and he did a large tour. He traveled and toured extensively in 1995 and 96, and there's DVD recordings, and there's live recordings from those concerts, and I wanted to hear a live recording so we can hear how outstanding Jeff Buckley was in live performance. This song is an original composition that he wrote, Jeff Buckley. This song is called Last Goodbye, and this is from his performance at the Olympia in Paris, France, in 1995.
Mangez
Jeff Buckley.
Oh!
Thank you.
Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. If you'd like to get in touch, please drop me an email, nowandthen@wjffradio.org. I hope you enjoyed today's program, Jeff Buckley and Tim Buckley. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Catskill Farms, builder of early American architecture in Eldred, New York, on the web at thecatskillfarms.com, and from the Bel Air Music Festival, home to rock, bluegrass, country, Broadway, jazz, opera, and more, belairmusic.org.
This is 90.5 FM, WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and